This podcast is brought to you by DeMarini. Are you ready to join the uprising? More than 150 programs around the nation have, including back-to-back Division I and II national champions, Oregon State and Tampa, and Division III national champion Keene. Log on to DeMarini.com/DNation and check out the Voodoo Minus 3 to see why the SC3 alloy is the most powerful and durable performance alloy on the market. It gives you the pop you need to get along because chicks don't dig the ground ball. The uprising, coming to a ballpark near you. Welcome once again, everyone, to a Baseball America podcast, College Style, along with Aaron Fitt. I'm John Manuel. Great time of year, Aaron. The 2 months without a day off makes everybody punchy, but it's also a good reason for 2 months with no days off. Draft season, college season. We're going to stick on the college tip on this podcast. We appreciate the download. But let's just talk college baseball, Aaron. And it was regional weekend. Very fortunate here in the Raleigh-Durham Triangle area. We had two regionals. We do not get two super regionals. Thanks a lot, Georgia Bulldogs. We do have two Georgia alumni who are very happy about Georgia coming through in their regional. But once there were 280-some teams in Division I, then there were 16. Then there were 64. Now there are 16, Aaron. What's your quick impressions on the weekend of regional play? I guess the most obvious storyline is holding serve.
Yeah, all that talk about parity all year long, John, and here we are, and we've got eight national seeds taking care of business after last year where a lot of those national seeds were sent packing pretty early on in the proceedings. 13 out of your 16 number one seeds win, and I think the number two seeds that won were not really a surprise. I had both Wichita State and UC Irvine in my bracket. Fresno State, of course, is the biggest surprise of the first weekend, other than Bucknell beating Florida State one game.
Right.
Fresno State as a number four seed coming out of the regional of death, as I believe we dubbed it last week. I thought Fresno, I mean, this is one reason that this was the regional of death, because Fresno was the best number four seed in the field. UC Davis, I thought, was also in that discussion, but for me, those were the two best four seeds. And we liked Fresno coming into the year, and they're showing us why now. Even without Tanner Sheppers, I think it's awfully impressive what they were able to do. They just owned San Diego. It's unbelievable that San Diego is going to is not going to even win a regional in 3 years with Brian Mattis and Josh Romanski. Talk about missing a window of opportunity.
Yes.
I mean, and they've had, and you know, that program's come a long way. It's clearly jumped up to a higher level. It's not an elite program because they can't win a regional. But
they're not a national contender yet. Win a regional.
It's very disappointing, I think, for those guys. And you have to wonder,
when's the last time Vanderbilt won a regional? Did they win a regional since 2004?
No.
I don't think they have.
No.
I mean,
so that's another example.
It.
Those are two programs that get a lot of publicity because they're great regular season teams.
And great recruiters.
They've got a lot of talent. But for God's sakes, guys,
high draft,
man up and win a regional.
I mean, for all the heat that Michigan took all year from fans around the country, hey, Michigan won a regional last year.
Yeah.
On the road at an SEC team. How many teams can say that? Here's another example of the difficulty of the West. Here's a four seed going on the road to win a regional against teams they played all season, familiar teams. The Big West, you got Long Beach State crapping out at home in a regional, really a Jekyll and Hyde team all year.
That's another program, John.
They haven't gone to Omaha since 1998. The Big West likes talk about how it has these two great national programs. Yeah, they do. UC Irvine and Cal State Fullerton.
You're right.
Fullerton is so far ahead of the rest of the Big West. It's not even funny. Obviously, the Titans deserve credit for coming back after an early loss to UCLA, coming back and winning the regional. Jeff Kaplan on a day's rest, getting the save. Brian Wilson come back on 2 days rest to start the game.
After pitching a complete game in the opener against Ryder, I can't say enough about the toughness of that Fullerton pitching staff and really of that entire team. I watched, I think, three or four Fullerton games this weekend and came away very impressed first of all, with the offense over there. They've got some, I think we knew this already, but just to see those guys in action, Christian Colon, how dynamic he is, and Josh Fellhauer, of course, and Eric Komatsu. Komatsu might be the best pure hitter in the country. There I said it.
No way. Brett Wallace is still playing.
Okay, fair enough.
Yonder Alonso is still playing.
I get ahead of myself. He's a great pure hitter.
He's probably the best pure hitter in the West.
All right.
Not in the West, I mean the Big West. He's the best pure hitter in that conference. But let's not get carried away with ourselves. They're a good team, and they're the number five national seed. And we start off with the top of the program. And here's a Fullerton program that's on his third head coach, who's a national reputation head coach, Augie, George Horton, Dave Serrano, period. Dave Serrano's not at that level of those other two guys yet because he hasn't won a national championship, but he's getting close, and he's right a step away from taking teams to Omaha in back-to-back years, different teams. Honestly, I don't think that's ever happened, Aaron. I don't think a coach has ever gone from one school to another and gone to Omaha in back-to-back years. I have to double-check that and go back to the record book, but he's on the doorstep. But we're talking about programs, and San Diego and Vanderbilt, in my mind, I respect the heck out of Rich Hill and Tim Corbin and what they've done with those two programs. But right now, those are pretenders. These are pretenders. These are not national programs. Win a regional. We're not asking too much.
And Long Beach State, John, 2 years in a row at home, win a regional.
I mean, how about Coastal Carolina? Coastal Carolina wins regionals. They put up and shut up with the administration, host, and they win. Now, they got a break in a way that the committee did not send South Carolina there. NC State had to weather the influx of Gamecocks fans. But, hey, NC State, A, sold more than enough tickets on its own, and B, manned up and pitched and shut down a very powerful South Carolina offense.
And I'll say this just for the record, as far as the South Carolina presence in the stands, it was much less pronounced than it was last year in the Super Regional up in Chapel Hill.
I agree. It's a great point. Great take. I think South Carolina fans were spoiled. Where's their regional? Where's their number one seed? Well, it's somewhere down there with their pitchers, who are not very good. And we said that all year. They actually pitched better this weekend than we thought.
They showed Nick Godwin showed a lot of toughness. And Will Atwood was very good. I mean, their pitching came up a lot bigger than their offense, that's for sure. And their defense also was a little shaky, John, which is supposed to be a calling card for that team.
But really what this is a super regional field of big-time programs, the elite programs in the country right now. There are a couple absences. Texas. Texas is still an elite program. I know they had a little bit of a down year this year, but they rallied late.
They've lost three straight regionals. They're clearly still an elite program, but they've lost three straight regionals now. To me, there's some slippage there.
They're not
in the top tier anymore. They're still an elite program, but they're not in the top tier right now.
Who was in the top? Well, winning a national championship, even getting to Omaha, is what makes you a top-tier program. They haven't been since 2005, but I still think they're an elite program because I still think Florida State – I think of Florida State as an elite program, and they haven't been to Omaha since 2000. These are teams that do generally win regionals. Yeah, Texas hasn't for 3 years. I still think Texas is an elite program. They also win conference championships. Vanderbilt's 1-1. San Diego wins, that's fine. They win the conference championship, win a regional. I think Texas and San Diego, there's worlds between those two programs. Worlds.
Oh, yeah. I'm not arguing with you there.
So that's, to me, there's a different level there.
But I'm saying as far as the very top level for me, John, you've got Miami, you've got Fullerton, you probably got North Carolina right now for me.
Yeah,
I know they haven't won a
North
national
Carolina.
Championship, but they're in that mix.
Absolutely.
And Rice, certainly. And Oregon State, I think you still have to throw in there, even though they didn't make it.
That's the whole other debate. I don't know about that. Oregon State in the last 15 years has been to regionals three times. And they went to Omaha all 3 years. Let's see going forward, is Oregon State a program? Or are they the Darwin Barney, Jonah Nickerson, Dallas Buck? Was that just a group of players that was so special with that junior class of Darwin Barney? Those kind of guys. Hey, this year they were not good. Maybe they deserve to be the 64th team, but they weren't good. They were 28 and 24.
You're right.
And they didn't play a murderous schedule. They played a good schedule, but it wasn't murderous. If it was a murderous schedule, they would have had RPI in the 20s or 30s.
You can
do that. Arizona's in the West, and they don't have a whole lot of Division I teams in their area. They're two Division I teams in the state of Arizona. They played Indiana State on the road, for crying out loud. So Arizona still somehow put together a much tougher schedule than Oregon State.
I don't agree with that.
I can see you're nodding your head no.
I mean,
I'm just telling you, Oregon State is not – to me, they had – an amazing 3-year run. They were 28 and 24 this year. And before that, there were 11 years of Pat Casey where they didn't even go to regionals. I'm not saying that there was a fluke.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying we have to watch over the next couple of years, to me, to see whether or not that was a program or a group of players who were a spectacular group of players. I think the jury's out on that.
Well, I suspect that they're going to be a major factor next year because of the way they have recruited since really getting to Omaha for the first time.
Right.
So I think that going forward, they will continue to be one of those elite programs.
Pretty big X factor, though, with the University of Oregon starting its program.
It is.
Huge X factor, something to watch. I think when I think of the elite programs, I think of the teams that are there through coaching changes, through conference changes, through changes in schedule, changes in the NCAA rules. I think of the University of Miami. I think of Cal State Fullerton. I think of Texas.
Miami, Fullerton, and Rice, for me, are the locks.
Those are the locks. And I'd say Arizona State is in the next group until they win a national championship. Rice has only won its one, obviously, but Miami winning two in this common era, Cal State Fullerton winning one. I mean, those are the three. Those are separate. Those are separators. They haven't had any down periods. I mean, Cal State Fullerton's down period has been the last 2 years in terms of their regular season record, and they went to Omaha last year, and now they've just won a regional this year. In terms of their talent level, last year was the nadir for that program, and they still went to Omaha. So that's how Cal State Fullerton rolls. That's a separator there in those programs. Stanford's had some down years. A&M hasn't been to Omaha since, 1999, I don't believe. Irvine's still not quite there. LSU, let's talk back about super regionals. LSU is a program that's back on the way up in shocking fashion. We would not have had this discussion a month and a half ago. If LSU gets back to Omaha, guess what? I think LSU's had their little dip, but now they're really two victories away from reestablishing themselves, in my mind, as an elite program.
LSU, John, is the story of college baseball in 2008, in my mind.
Yeah, they are. I agree. They're the biggest story. To win 23 games in a row is unbelievable. Aaron, thumbnail sketch, how are they doing it?
You know, it's The funny thing about it is it's not a return to guerrilla ball. They've got a couple of big bats in the middle of that lineup with Clark, of course, and Dean and those guys with some power. But really, it's not a big mashing team from top to bottom. It's only three guys with more than five home runs on this team. They've just got a lot of good baseball players. I mean, they play good defense. I mean, I like Ryan Schimpf in the middle of the line, in the middle of the diamond, and DJ LeMahieu, the freshman, has played outstanding at shortstop, and Michael Hollander. It's a good mix of younger guys and veterans on the mound. They've gotten Ryan Verdugo and Blake Martin, the two left-handers, to step forward and stabilize the rotation, which has allowed them to move Jared Bradford to the bullpen when they need to.
Kind of their moment of truth relief pitcher right now.
And Lewis Coleman has stepped up huge for them.
They're not saying Lou, they're saying Lou.
Thank you. Giving them two really studs in the bullpen, kind of like Miami has with Gutierrez and Bellamy out there. So it's an awfully good team, and I think Irvine's going to have its hands full this weekend. I don't know where we should start talking about these super regionals.
Yeah, I don't know where we can start, though. We've already burned about 15 minutes on the Baseball America College podcast talking about other stuff. But good stuff in my mind, because I really do think there's some separation in LSU. It's like LSU and Stanford are two of these programs trying to break back into the elite.
Yeah.
And LSU's got five titles, Stanford's got two, but Stanford hasn't won any in 20 years. LSU hasn't won since 2000. Let's break down these regionals. And speaking of longtime powerful programs that have had a rough decade or so, let's start off with the Florida State, Wichita State regional, or super regional, shall we? Florida State score 70-plus runs in a regional, Aaron, after getting shut out in the first game by Matthew Wilson. Don't know when I'm going to find time to write that column, but an engaging interview, Matthew Wilson, the Toronto native and former Oktok dog. That was a summer ball team last summer. I don't even know where Oktok is. It's actually out in the south of Calgary, for those of you who are geographically challenged when it comes to Canada. But Florida State gets shut out by Matthew Wilson, bounces back and scores 70-plus runs, mashing its way back through that regional. Wichita State, Aaron, yeah, you picked it, you called it, that Wichita State was going to win that regional. This is an intriguing one because you got the very good pitching of Wichita State, and this is a team that's set up for three-game series. Can Anthony Capra and Aaron Schaefer, who had a very good super regional start, regional start, we're told, and Rob Musgrave, can this threesome at Wichita State pitch its way past Florida State?
I think they can, and I thought that this matchup would materialize looking at the brackets, and it has. You know, I thought if Wichita State could get out of their regional, they'd be in good shape because, like you said, they're designed to win three games, and they needed to go 3-0, I thought, to win their regional, and they did that. And now now they get to go to Florida State, and this is not a great ballpark for them. It is more of an offensive park, and Wichita State is not really a home run kind of team. They do have some power, but I think their athleticism, as I said last week, is the X factor. I really think that Wichita State will be able to exploit Florida State's defensive shortcomings this weekend, and I think that'll be the difference.
Well, that's a big question for Florida State. I think Florida State pitched okay in the regular season. They did not pitch great this weekend. They gave up a lot of runs. It was a very high-scoring regional. Obviously, they got deep into their bullpen. I don't know if Florida State can win mashing its way to Omaha.
And here's the other thing. Nothing against the other teams in that Tallahassee regional, but Florida State didn't see any arms as good as they're going to see this weekend. And in particular, they didn't see any college pitchers as good as they're going to see this weekend, because that's the thing about Musgrave and Capra and Schaefer's. They all locate, they all command, they all have movement. Those kind of guys can be pretty effective against Florida State.
That's what Matthew Wilson did. Matthew Wilson was mid-80s plus changeup, curveball. He threw five changeups in a row at one point, Aaron, and he's not a sinker-slider guy necessarily, but he got 16 ground ball outs. You know, basically pitches that he said he thought were strikeout pitches. Florida State basically beat into the ground. He praised Florida State's offense up and down, but push comes to shove, he shut him out. 153 pitches. If he can do it, Wichita State can do it. I see why you're picking Wichita State. I'm still sticking with Florida State. I do think Florida State will pitch better this weekend than they did last week. And I think Florida State got a little bit put back on its heels. Bucknell scored 7 runs early. Florida State started its number 4 starter on Friday and kind of just got off on the wrong foot. But they didn't panic, much to Mike Martin's credit and those players' credit. And they still have Buster Posey.
Oh, yeah.
I still think Florida State is set up to go back to Omaha for the first time since 2000.
They certainly are set up. And I should also mention that they did beat Shooter Hunt on Monday, but it was Shooter Hunt on short rest, so I don't really count that.
Sure, there's a caveat there. Let's move up that bracket. Cal State Fullerton, Stanford. Cal State Fullerton, what can you say about the Titans? Just gritty and gutty. We've already talked a little bit about them. Stanford also coming back from a first-round loss to UC Davis, much in the way that Florida State did, coming back old-school style through the loser's bracket. Couple keys here for Stanford. One, they threw Eric Davis on 2 days rest yesterday. I think he won't go until the third game of this regional. Two, Jeremy Bleich, 4 shutout innings against Arkansas in relief. Austin Yount was good. Jeremy Bleich was good.
And Austin Yount came back yesterday also
on a day's rest.
And pitched very well out of the bullpen. So
Sam Bring pitched well for them.
Yeah.
Drew Storn pitched well for them.
Outstanding.
If Stanford pitches,
Jeffrey Inman pitched well.
If Stanford pitches, Stanford's competitive with anybody because offensively they're quite good. They're also very left-handed. Fullerton usually can exploit that. Dave Serrano, as a pitching coach, is in the elite tier in this country for I don't know if he counts as the elite tier in Japan or not, but he's in the elite tier here in the country for being able to take an opponent's weakness and pick them apart.
Yeah.
This is a storied rivalry. In my opinion, that's the best rivalry in the West because of how often they've played in important games and also season opening games. These are two elite programs. I've been to Omaha repeatedly over the last decade. Stanford, I think, has more talent. I'm picking the Titans. They're at home. They're the national seed. I think that a team that has that much young talent is usually better at the end of the season when they're well-coached than they are early. I mean, that's been Cal State Fullerton's trajectory all year, only one series loss in the last, 12 weeks against Long Beach State. I'm picking the Titans.
I'm picking the Titans, too. I would be very, very surprised if they lose this Super Regional at home. You mentioned the left-handed factor, and Fullerton's got some good left-handers, and Jason Doval in particular looked very good yesterday, shutting down UCLA out of the bullpen. So I think Fullerton is just a very good team.
I mean, the main key here is that Stanford's got to pitch better than they have shown over the course of the year. Like in that stretch where Eric Davis was throwing 4 straight complete games, they had an ace. He hasn't been the same since then. He hasn't been as good. They haven't had that guy who can just go out there and control a game from the mound. I know Austin Young's been quite good at times. He's also more of a sinker-slider type guy. I think, like you mentioned, Fulton's offense is so opportunistic, aggressive, and good. You know, it's not just they've got Jared Clark. They've got a pretty big masher in there. There's six or seven guys. Gary Brown, after a very slow start, has been very effective as the season's gone on.
He's the electric player, dynamic player that we thought he would be.
And that's why he was one of our top freshmen coming into the country, into the season. I don't know that Stanford's pitching can hold down Fullerton's offense, that's why I'm picking the Titans. NC State and Georgia, Wolfpack versus who are the fourth best team in the ACC pretty much all year. Kind of right in that same mix with Virginia early and Georgia Tech late. They're the fourth team that's standing. Very impressive pitching staff, a lot of depth. Going up against Georgia, which didn't really pitch its way through its regional, but they didn't have to. Offensively, they just overwhelmed Georgia Tech on Monday after Nick Montgomery came through with a great complete game for them Sunday night. Who do you like here? Do you like NC State or do you like Georgia?
You know, I like Georgia, but I'm very intrigued by this matchup. I think it really pits two teams that have, for my money, the two deepest bullpens in the nation, and that includes North Carolina. These guys, you know, I really like the way both these bullpens are constructed, and I wrote about this at length about North Carolina State's bullpen on the college blog Monday or Sunday night. But
it all runs together.
It does run together. They all have guys who have roles and they can mix and match, and Georgia's the exact same way. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see the way, you know, these two teams employ their arms. And I don't think either of these teams will hesitate to go to the bullpen early if their starters struggle. Georgia in particular has not gotten very good outings out of its three main, you know, rotation mainstays lately. In that respect, maybe North Carolina State has a real chance here. I do like Georgia's offense better. I think they're just more dangerous, particularly in the middle of the lineup. We know about Gordon Beckham. Rich Poitras has continued to hit home runs, and Matt Olson with just a ridiculous regional, going 18 for 26.
I think Georgia's just better offensively. They're both pretty good pitching teams. I think NC State's a little bit better pitching team. And they did shut down South Carolina, but, you know, Georgia's lineup – it's kind of similar to South Carolina. It's a little bit deeper. Not a lot deeper. But they don't have guys hitting 230 rolling out there in the bottom right. Third of the lineup. I think Georgia's just a little bit also a better pitching team than South Carolina is. NC State's offense really doesn't impress you. It does just enough. They defend just enough. They're really a pitching-first kind of team.
Their defense is pretty solid.
On the corners, they're a little...
They've got a difference maker at third base, and Drew Martin, who's one of the best defensive third basemen out there.
He's very good. They're outfield corners and they're first base, and even behind the plate, I just don't think they're a great defensive team. It's just like just enough. Tommy Foschi's just enough at shortstop.
Yeah.
They're just enough at second base. I'm not saying they're a bad defensive team. I just don't see I have one strength, pitching. I think Georgia has
multiple.
Pitching and Gordon Beckham. So their offense, I'd still say, is a strength for Georgia. I would not say that's a strength for NC State. I'm going with the Bulldogs there. But that's an intriguing one for sure. We need to hurry up here on the Baseball America College podcast to make this file not be too huge. Miami and Arizona. Aaron, Miami, as we said, the number one overall seed, they got a very, very difficult regional and have a very difficult super regional matchup. Ryan Perry, Jason Stoffel, Daniel Schlier, as we said, all year. Arizona's bullpen is ridiculous. They don't have super depth behind those three guys, but that's a better bullpen than NC State and Georgia. Sorry. That's a better bullpen than those.
It's a better bullpen than the New York Yankees.
It probably is a better bullpen than the Yankees. They don't have Rivera, but I would take any of those three guys over Kyle Farnsworth right now setting up. Great point. Great take. But I still think Miami's better. I think Miami's the better team, and I also think Miami's pitchers can really exploit this Arizona lineup, which is a little hacktastic. We've talked about it in the last couple weeks. I like Miami to advance in some games that are going to be low scoring, but I still think eventually Miami with metal bats, their lineup's going to get to Arizona's pitching no matter how hard they throw.
I feel the same way for the same reasons. I wouldn't be shocked if Arizona won this thing at all.
Right.
And I really thought, you know, for much of the year that Arizona might have been the most talented team in the country from top to bottom, but Miami is just – they're complete. They're the real deal.
I think Miami is the most talented team in the country.
They are.
They're extremely well-coached.
Yep.
No
they're at home,
to the
too, so to boot.
No offense to the Wildcats. We like Miami. Moving over to the other side, let's start at the bottom again. This is the only regional, to be honest with you, and that where I would be stunned by the, if the outcome were an upset.
Right.
I would be stunned if Fresno State, if Justin Wilson, Clayton Allison, and that pitching staff was able to go to Tempe and shut down Brett Wallace, Ike Davis, and their compatriots at Arizona State. I think that the Sun Devils are a prohibitive favorite here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it would be stunning. And,
because the teams that Fresno State beat in that regional were not offensive juggernauts. They beat Long Beach State, and they beat San Diego.
That's right.
They did not have to play Cal, which was supposed to be the best offense in that regional, and they scored 2 runs in 2 games.
Right.
They haven't faced a lineup like Arizona State. Now, they've pitched in very offensive ballparks in the WAC and some pinball games and all that, but Arizona State's hitters are just so much better. I don't think Fresno State can do it.
I don't either, and I do think that Justin Wilson gives them a chance because he is left-handed, and he's a good left-hander with a lot of movement.
He's added a slider late this season. It's really been a difference maker for him. He's throwing more strikes. He can throw the slider when he's behind the count for strikes, and that gets him back into a lot of at-bats that he used to be out of.
But even if he wins that first game, I don't like the way Clayton Allison matches up with Arizona State, especially in that ballpark. I just don't think Fresno State's got enough guns here. I think Arizona State wins fairly easily.
Kudos to Oklahoma, by the way. We still don't think you deserve to be in the tournament, but once you got there, you acquitted yourselves well. 2 wins in that regional, and kudos to the Sooners. And the Houston Super Regional, Texas A&M at Rice. Rice looking for its 3rd straight trip to Omaha. Wayne Graham, I've lost count of how many trips to Omaha this would be for old Wayne. Rice versus A&M, Aaron. A&M's scrappy, resourceful, freshman-laden. Can they power past the Owls, or do you like Rice to get back to Omaha for the 3rd time?
I do like Rice to get back to Omaha for the 3rd time. I think they're steadier on the mound. I think their lineup is pretty solid, and they come up with the timely hits. There are some things that I worry about with Texas A&M. I mean, I can't believe, frankly, that they lost that game to Houston on Sunday after Houston really ran out of arms, and Texas A&M had won 22-4 the previous day against Houston. I wondered a little bit sometimes about Texas A&M.
The last month or so, they've been pretty inconsistent.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. The 8-game losing streak, even again this weekend, winning the regional, they weren't overwhelming, kind of let Houston back into it. I agree with you. I think Rice is the favorite. This will be the 7th trip to Omaha since 1997 for Rice. So 7 trips in 11 seasons. That'd be pretty doggone good for Wayne Graham.
Great program.
UC Irvine, LSU. Aaron, I have a feeling that you're going to pick the Anteaters to win this regional. This is an old school rivalry between Mike Gillespie. Two coaches. You know, Mike Gillespie faced LSU a lot when he was at USC. In fact, they faced LSU 3 times in the 98 College World Series, which USC won 2 of those 3 matchups, went on to win the whole tournament. I don't know that, you know, you also have the old USC-Notre Dame thing here. USC and Notre Dame were, I believe, set to meet in a super regional back in 2001 before Florida International spoiled that party by winning the regional at Notre Dame. That was one that a lot of college baseball fans were really looking forward to, a USC-Notre Dame matchup in baseball because of the rivalry in the football teams. And then you have LSU here, kind of they're trying to return to dominance. I got to tell you, I think Irvine, at some point LSU's got to lose some games, and UC Irvine is exactly the kind of team that can give a team on a roll fits. Their whole MO is throwing you off kilter, throwing you off rhythm. I think UC Irvine can go down to the Bayou and end Alex Box Stadium's era and win that Super Regional.
So you're picking the Anteaters.
I'm picking the Anteaters.
Wow, it's a gutsy move. I've gone back and forth on this one a lot, and I thought, looking at the brackets, that Irvine could get to Omaha if it didn't have to go through LSU. I don't think it's a great matchup for Irvine. We've talked about how Alex Box is an offensive park.
Correct.
And Irvine has one guy with 7 home runs and nobody else with more than 4.
No one named Cipriano in the middle of the lineup hitting 13 home runs or whatever it was last year.
Matt Clark has almost as many home runs as UC Irvine. It's pretty
next.
Close, 25 to about 34 or so. But I worry about that stuff. So I've gone back and forth on this. I think LSU will hold serve at home. It's, you know, and I think it could go either way. I wish I had more insights here, John. I just think this is a great matchup. But I think I'm going to take LSU.
All right, so we have a split decision on that one. I think that's our second split of the eight super regionals. North Carolina, Coastal Carolina, we've seen this act before. We've seen Coastal Carolina come to carry and beat North Carolina. I just think North Carolina's pitching right now, Aaron. To be honest with you, I can't think of a team that has two power arms throwing as well as North Carolina has right now with Matt Harvey and Alex White. North Carolina pulled Matt Harvey early in their first game. They didn't have to go back to him. He threw very well in that game. He threw outstandingly in the ACC tournament. I still think he elevates the ball quite a bit, but sometimes at 94, people can't catch up to it. And Alex White, ACC Pitcher of the Year, you could have argued that one, but he was dynamite in the regional. He's been excellent down the stretch. I think Matt Harvey, Alex White, too much for most teams. If North Carolina seemed to get its bullpen back in order this weekend, Rob Wooten with a key save against UNC Wilmington, I think Coastal Carolina is very good. They were my Omaha sleeper preseason. I obviously wouldn't be shocked if Coastal went to Omaha, but I think North Carolina's power arms are just too much.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of Alex White over the last 2 years, and this weekend was the best I've ever seen him. He was unlike usual. He'll have an outing or an inning rather where his command kind of gets shaky, and he'll issue some walks and give up a couple of runs, but he didn't do that at all. This weekend, really just dominated that game. Three hits, complete game. I mean, he had all three pitches working. He really used his split finger more than I've ever seen it before as well, to great effect.
He's just maturing as a pitcher.
He is maturing as a pitcher, and he's going to be a special one. I think Coastal does have a chance in this regional.
Again, a team with power arms.
They've got some speed. Which I think plays well in that spacious ballpark. They won there already once this year in midweek. But Coastal right now seems to be really relying upon the long ball and the power game. And their ballpark, it plays a lot differently than Cary. And they scored a lot of runs this past weekend. They're going to have to do it differently this coming weekend. And their pitching to me hasn't been that great, frankly, down the stretch here. So I don't think they've got enough. I think North Carolina takes care of business at home.
I don't think that's just for you. I think that's been for everybody. Their pitching has been spotty down the stretch. There's no due to boot that. So we're saying, so our picks, we're only splitting on two of these guys. How about that? We're only splitting on the Irvine LSU regional and the Wichita Florida State regional. In fact, not only are we only splitting, we're taking the favorites everywhere except for I took Irvine in the LSU regional and you took Wichita State. But you know what, Aaron? I do think it's this kind of year. I know we thought that the four top teams, Miami, North Carolina, Florida State, Arizona State, had really separated themselves from the rest of the field. And right now, I just think the home field's going to matter a lot. And I've only got UC Irvine as the only team going on the road to win a Super Regional, which they also did last year. I mean, that's also part of the reason for my pick is that experience of doing that.
And what they did last year, too, is they beat – look at the teams they beat. Traditional powerhouses, Texas, Wichita State.
Right.
You know, then they get to Omaha and they beat Arizona State. I mean, they beat
and
all
Fullerton.
These. And Fullerton. They're not intimidated by a big-name school or a big-name atmosphere.
Certainly, Aaron, they're not intimidated. They certainly have no fear, so – Are we making an Omaha pick yet? Did we both pick Miami last week?
Sticking with it. I don't know about
I'm
you.
I'm sticking with Miami as well. No, nothing happened this weekend to dissuade me from the Hurricanes pick.
I think it's Miami, North Carolina, all ACC championship series.
I'm kind of leaning that way too. I will say that Arizona State impressed me by their performance this weekend.
Yeah.
Arizona State, if they just have enough pitching depth, they're better than North Carolina.
I think that would be a great championship series matchup, Miami Arizona State, the two teams that really were I think in general the best two teams this year. Arizona State and Miami, I think, probably held the number one spot in our rankings more than any other teams. That would be a lot of fun.
Any other wrap up of regionals? There's that one stat about the teams from Arizona and California being 14-0 against teams from outside those two states. And the North Carolina teams, there were six North Carolina teams, and they did not quite put together that good of a record. I haven't added it all up, but I knew Elon and East Carolina, among others, and Charlotte lost the teams outside of their state. Charlotte losing to James Madison, for example, in South Carolina, I believe. So kudos really to those Western teams. We've been saying it all year, Aaron. The West this year is best. I think in general we think the West is best in college baseball.
Elon, by the way, won its only game against the non-North Carolina team.
Mount St. Mary's, the Mount, two in barbecue.
Coming to Elon's defense, John, for Nathan Rhodey.
Good for you. Good for you. But I do think that this weekend you have only really the one matchup where the West is sent out, and that's Arizona, and they have to go to the number one seed, Miami. Don't buy that. Don't understand why you have to have Fullerton and Stanford play each other in a super regional. Why do you have to have the Long Beach State regional winner against Arizona State? It's not like Fresno State's going to hop on the bus to Tempe. So why can't you have these things be some flights? I just don't understand why the committee constantly does that.
But looking around the country, I mean, most of these are regional matchups, North Carolina and Coastal Carolina. I mean,
some of them are.
Most of them are. Coastal Carolina, North Carolina, Rice, Texas A&M, Fullerton, Stanford, North Carolina State, Georgia, and well, I guess that's it. So what's that, half?
That's like five out of the eight. I mean, but of course, LSU is not.
But of course, that's taking into account a couple of upsets that kind of throw some.
But should they be? I mean, the regionals are supposed to be regional. I don't know. The super regional seems like it's above being regional. It shouldn't just be regionals.
All I'm saying is I'm kind of tired of the West whining about it because everyone else has the same kind of situation.
No,
they've got more teams.
That's the problem. No, they don't. But all four ACC teams that were number one seeds can get to Omaha. I don't think that's the case when you put the Pac-10 and the Big West together. That's a huge problem, and that's what pisses off the West, and it should. Obviously, it pisses me off, but that's bunk. How can all four ACC teams get there? That's ridiculous. But you can't have four teams from the West. That's ridiculous. I guess
but the West isn't one. The West isn't one conference. Four teams from the Pac-10 could get there too.
Right, but for the Pac-10 and the Big West combined are basically just about as big as. I mean, the SEC and the ACC are 24 teams.
And that's why they get more representation. I mean, that's it. There's more teams out there, so they get more teams in the regionals.
Can the committee understand that though? And to me, and spread out the West teams. I don't think the West would have any problem going on the road. But why do the West teams always knock each other off in these super regionals? I don't think the committee understands there are fewer teams in the West, and there are so many more teams from the Southeast. So if the Southeast knocks off some of itself, there's still other SEC teams around or ACC teams around. That's not true in the West. They knock each other out. You always get one or two teams from the West. If the eight best teams are off in the West, they should be spread out, but they're not. And with the way the RPI is, they're never going to have four or five West teams in the top eight national seeds. The reason the West keeps bitching about it is because it keeps happening, and there's still more ignorance on the committee. That's why I would get tired of the whining, too, if I didn't think there was a foundation in it. I get tired of some of the whining. I get tired of the no respect, all that stuff. You didn't rank us in the preseason, and we showed you. I get tired of that. Believe me, but this happens over a 10, 15, 20-year period, and the reason they whine about it is because they're right and the committee's wrong. That's just the bottom line. The West doesn't get screwed, but there's just not an acknowledgement of what you just said, the facts. They're fewer West teams, so why should they always be set up to knock each other off? I just don't buy it. I know you're trying feverishly to counter my emotional point. And that's fine. We need to wrap up the podcast.
There are. I just want to point out that unlike last year, where it was literally impossible for two West Coast teams to meet in the championship series, all those teams were on the left half of the bracket. They have done a better job of spreading it around this year. You do have, first of all, like by my count,
put the Fullerton Stanford Super Region on the other side. You're right.
And also by my count, there are West Coast teams in six different regionals. And you know. Hey, if these West Coast teams are so much better than everybody else, win the regionals, and they'd have. Arizona went to Ann Arbor and won a regional. UC Irvine went to Lincoln and won a regional.
You're right. That also almost proves my point even more. When you do send the West out, you do have more West teams that have a chance to get to Omaha, and you do have the possibility of an Irvine. If the West wins out, Irvine, Arizona State, that winner, Fullerton, Stanford winner, possibly Arizona. You could have four West teams. But that's the exception historically, and to me, the other problem with that is you still have why do Fullerton and Stanford have to match up? They're not even going to ride the bus, I don't think. And if they are, that's a long trip. I don't think people understand the length of that. I don't understand why that can't be Stanford against Rice and A&M against Fullerton to save a buck or two. That's not getting your best teams to your championship. And to me, having the best championship is how you grow the sport. And I still feel the committee could do a better job of growing the championship. But you make a great point. They did put them at least on the other sides of the bracket. And like you said, when they sent West teams, out of the West, big shock, they won. Great podcast, long podcast, but a great podcast. Thanks, Aaron Fitt, obviously, and this is our last in-studio podcast, if you want to call this a studio, I believe. I guess we could maybe crank one out before you go to Omaha next week, Omaha preview, but we'll also be podcasting live from Omaha next week, provided I don't drop my computer again. For Aaron Fitt, I'm John Manuel. Thanks for the download. Until next week, so long, everybody.